think our children are going out to their activities, so we trust that they'll be blessed, so that they can too be a blessing. Are you still well? Good. I have in front of me a sheet of paper that I had drafted. Over the course of this last year, it is true that we have many, many talented individuals. And it was also true that sometimes we as people, we don't know where we fit in. And we're going, this is the church God's called us to, but where can I serve? And I've had this drafted up to give you an invitation. And there may be some things I've missed out on here. This is an overview of our ministries. And on the bottom there, it says, is there something that you feel we're not doing and God has placed on your heart? So this is an open invitation for each and every one of us to fill this in, even if you're already part of a ministry, to give us an idea of where you feel you'd like to serve God's plans and purposes. Now, there is a disclosure. It might say on here there's a ministry, but you might not be at the position yet that we can release you, but we can certainly train and equip you to reach that point. So please take one of these, fill it in, and put it in the blue box, which is out there somewhere. Is that okay? Right. Church, I don't know if you know this, but church is a dangerous place. Did you know that? Not because of sharp edges, but because of God softening, because of God moving. When we switch on our TV and we listen to the radio, just recently there's been a lot of talk about leadership, hasn't there? And regardless to which political persuasion you are, personally I'm saddened by the resignation of our Prime Minister in the end of the year, because I find him to be a leader, like I say, regardless to your political persuasion. But he made this statement, he said, you know, I can't steer this ship through this next season. And I remember some years ago, Susan and I was in a meeting, and I'm sorry, Susan, but I've got to tell this story. I found it quite funny. It was a period of time where I knew, and please get my heart on this, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm this short individual that God has called, equipped and enabled to do what? I'm glad you asked, to serve. That's what leadership means, to serve. It's to be a servant leader, not to be on that place where you say, this is the hierarchy, but it's to have that servant heart, but also have that strength and that resolve. And we was in a meeting, and we was particularly going through a tough time, and a visiting minister came, and he prayed over me, and he said, in Susan's hearing, you are to lead a ship. And Susan thought I was going to be a captain. She's going, I don't like water. There's no way I'm going to go on water. You're going to lead a ship? No, I said, sweetheart, I'm called to leadership. To leadership, not to lead a ship. But to use what David Cameron said, he'd been called to lead this ship called the United Kingdom. And he's going to pass it on. Well, I've been called to lead this ship of Grace Community Church. And with your help, I trust this next season will be more fruitful, more eventful in a good, positive way. Why? Because we work together. Now, I've put one or two things down. Normally, at the end of a season, when we come to an AGM, I like to do an overview. But we've done most of that in our 10th year anniversary. So I just want to read one or two things that I've written and bring some scriptures. And hopefully you'll be blessed, even though there may be less for me to say. I've actually put a note down here. I've got my children. There's not much I don't know about. Now, why have I put that? Because I was thinking about this. I remember I've got five children, and I'm a King's Lynn boy. And I know a lot of people in King's Lynn. And I would say to Karis in particular, there ain't anything, sweetheart, that I don't know about. I know the good, the bad, and the indifferent. Why? Because I have people who I've grown up with throughout this area. And you know what? Through God's grace, there isn't much that he doesn't enable his leaders to know about. But you know what? When you're to leadership, whether you're to steer this boat into rocky or calm seas, there's things you lay hold of and things you let go of. And that's called grace and humility. So in your families, there may be things you know about your children, your grandchildren, your parents, your grandparents. And maybe God is saying to you afresh this year, let go of some of them things that have been building walls, tear them down, and let me come in. Because you may know everything, but not everything is beneficial. Scripture, isn't it? Not everything is beneficial. So even within church culture, there isn't much that your pastor don't know about. But there's only a few things that we need to grab hold of and build on. Just one or two of the things that I just want to let you know that we're looking to go ahead with this year. MFG, it's to support leaders. It's Ministers Fellowship Global. I've been to two conferences now. The last one I went, I took some individuals. Pat and Chris came, and Andy and Anton came, Susan, myself. And it's a fellowship to encourage leaders. And how many of you know that leaders need to be encouraged, whether you're leading small group or large group? Yes? You know, did you know this? That every one of you, you are a leader. Why do I say that? Because if you have children, you're leading them. If you're in the workplace, you're leading them. If you're just at home, you're a newly married couple, you're leading by example. We're all called to lead. So as we go forward, I trust that if we do decide to sign up this year, that we will all be encouraged as a church. The other thing is, over the next few weeks and months, I will be introducing you to some new members. There's a couple, I won't mention their names, but I was blessed by a phone call. A couple of mature Christians served God's plans and purposes faithfully. They're very happy in their church. They're very content with their life. And through prayer, God just said, you're to leave, and you're to go and serve Grace Community Church. And that's a God thing, isn't it? Yeah, how many of you know it's difficult to leave your comfort zone? I am that man. Yeah? Is there anyone else who finds it difficult to leave your comfort zone? I know that when Susie and I first came to Down and Market, we said this is everything we don't want. And God said, tough. No, he didn't. He said, but I've called you. And you know, something I want to remind you as a church and myself, us as leadership, that when you're called, we still have the choice to move where God wants us to move or to move out and stay in our comfort zone. Leave the land. Abraham was told this. He said, leave your home. Well, where am I going? I'll show you. So often we want to know where we're going before we leave. But God says, leave and I'll show you on the way. There is a land. I will give you a child. How? I'll show you on the way. Take that child and sacrifice. Why? Just climb the mountain. I'll show you. Do you see the point there? So often we as individuals, we want to know the answer before we'll accept the call. But I want to remind us today that we have that opportunity to accept the call. Just to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Or we could say, here I am, Lord, send someone else. God doesn't need me. Did you know that? He doesn't need me to minister this church. He doesn't need you to be part of this church. But he's given us the privilege of saying yes to the call. So new members, we'll introduce them, providing they're willing, as the weeks and months go by. And also, Andy and I, we've been praying with Susan and Sue about eldership. And there's people that God has identified. And this year, there'll be some more preparation for some more elders to come into church. Why? Because we believe we're going to grow. God has graced us over this 10 years and he's enabled us as a team to create something, I believe, very special. And I do believe this, that every strong building needs a strong foundation. There may be areas of weaknesses, there may be a bit of crumbling here and there, but I believe that the foundation of this church is solid because there is a reinforcement that goes through the concrete. There's a reinforcement, and that reinforcement is the blood of Jesus Christ. We've heard it today in our hymns. Without the blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. We have to build on that foundation. Jesus reminds us afresh, he said that, Scripture says it this way, no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has already been laid. And that foundation is, you've read your Bible. That is good news. Because the Bible says this, know the truth and the truth will set you free. Yes? Here's a key for you if you needed something to unlock. The key is know. Know. Not to know about, but to know. Know the truth. So in our life, whether we're doing the good, the bad, or the ugly, whether we're in school or out of school, whether we're in senior ministry or in junior ministry, whether we're part of a congregation, whether we're a new Christian, a seeking Christian, it's the same truth for you and for me. No. Jesus said, I am. So often in Scripture, I believe, in my life, I've missed the small things, the no and the I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus says, know me. Know me. If you know me, you'll find freedom. So whatever you're going through today, at the beginning of this new season, I want to ask you to get to know him. Because whether you feel you need counseling or not, if you spend an hour in the presence of God, he will sort out the things that need to be sorted out. He will show you the way. He will illuminate the darkness. He will set you free from some of the past addictions, the past hurts. We sung about walls. I did a series on walls. Some walls we need to build. Some walls we need to pull down. Some walls we just need to restore. There's a wall that will keep you in, and there's a wall that will keep God out. Did you know that? It's the wall of pride and hostility. But Jesus came to break down that wall, didn't he? So I want to encourage you, whether you're a visitor or a member of this church or someone who's journeying to become a member, to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Lord, here I am at the beginning of this season. Use me. Speak to me. So we're going to be looking at new elders coming into church. This year, we aim to train and equip and release as many of you as possible. You all have ability. When I was at school, one of my biggest sins was this. I said, I can't do nothing. I'm not good at anything. And in the natural, apart from fighting, I weren't very good at anything. And that's not anything to be proud of. We all have ability. And for those who are willing, and there's another key, if you're willing. God's calling. Are you listening? Are you willing to give God that ability? And that talent, he through his spirit will bring the increase. Here I am, Lord, holy and available. Use me. As we move forward, change will come. Challenge will come. We first weigh up the cost. And if it's worth the investment, our time, our talents, and our finances, we go. If we weigh it up, if it's worth the investment, Scripture tells us to weigh the cost up first before we go to battle. Can we advance? Can we do this? Can we finance this? Can we give the time? Can we give the prayer that's needed? And if the answer is yes, then we go. We build on our weaknesses. We embrace our strengths. We remember. Some years ago, we used the word excellence. Excellence is not opulence and is not perfection. It's using the things God has given and to give of our best. Excellence is not opulence and it's not perfection. So often in my life, and I'm maybe sure it's true in your life, that when someone has asked for something superior, you think, well, I can't do this. Simply, I put it this way. Excellence is you doing the best with what you have. That's excellence. It's not opulence and it's not perfection. It's simply giving God your best. My school report, Susan always threatens me that she'll show my kids my report. And then she thought, well, no, I won't, because that's a bad example. I used to get E's, and I'd change them to a B before I got home. That was when you used to have paper reports. Sorry, school teachers. My mum used to go, well, that's good. I'd go, yeah, thanks, mum. It was an E, but I changed it to a B. And my school report always said this. Could do better. Could do better. Now, when I first looked at that, I took it as a negative, but now I look at it as a positive, because they saw something in me that I didn't see. Could do better. You see, if I was doing my best, that would be excellence, wouldn't it? Whether you can add up or you can subtract, doesn't make no difference. If you're doing your best according to the ability God's given you, that's excellence. But for me, those teachers who cared about me, who sold their time and their talents and their resources into people like me, simply put the truth down, could do better. When I stand before the Lord, I don't want him to say, could do better. I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. How about you? That's challenge number one. I told you church can be a dangerous place. I've been praying my entire Christian life, but I've been praying particularly just lately for the Lord to speak to me in a new way, in a fresh way. And I'm saying, Lord, if you've really called me to lead this ship through the storms and through the calm, then please encourage me. Have you ever done that? Have you got to a point where you go, God, are you real? Are you real? Do you not see what I'm going through? Have you ever been there? You have, haven't you? I know that to be true. Why? Because we're in the world, but not of the world. And we say, Lord, show me. Just speak to me. And I don't know if you've done this, but sometimes we do this. We go, I'll just open the scripture randomly. And Judas hung himself. No, I'll do that again, Lord. All the promises in God are yes, and the other, I'll have that one. Have you ever done that? It's dangerous, isn't it? But I'm saying, Lord, just encourage me. And he's encouraged me by phone calls. He's encouraged me by the resilience of this church, by the leadership of this church, by all the hours that you put in voluntarily for the good and the not so good. I've been encouraged. But just a couple of days ago, I was immensely encouraged. I was 10 Mile Bank, and I don't normally go to 10 Mile Bank, and I had a visit with a particular person that wasn't in. And as I was about to leave, I heard this very loud music coming down the road, so it took my attention. The car drew into the driveway and parked into the neighbor's car park. And out got this lady, and she looked at me and smiled. Not that there's anything wrong with ladies smiling at me. It's better than the other way. And she said, you dedicated, I don't know if she said my grandchild or what, but you dedicated my grandchild. And I said, I couldn't remember her face. And I said, did I? Remind me. She said, Lily May. I said, I remember. Lily May was a young child, and Roz and her team will know about this. Lily May was a young child, I think maybe 2 years old, a bit older. She had 2 weeks to live. This is the doctor's report. This is not me being evangelistic. 2 weeks to live. And Roz came to me and she said, Andrew, there's been a request from the family. They wanted to baptize the child, but I told them we did dedications. Would you dedicate? And I said, yes. She said, but it might be a little bit unconventional. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, it'll be a bouncy castle and a big party. And I said, I'm in. And you guys that were there, you remember this. This child had 2 weeks to live, and it was a sending off party. And we had a young mother of about 15, I think, with this child who had severe complex needs, 2 weeks to live, and her father, and then there was carers there. And we dedicated this child, and we said, Lord, bless her, encourage her. And then I turned to the carer and the mother and said, can I pray for your child the way that I'd pray for my child? This was Easter. And they said, yes. And I turned back again. I said, no, please understand what I'm going to say. Would you allow me to pray for your child the way I'll pray for my child? You see, we're in a battle, aren't we? We're in a fight, and we all have ability. And you know what? Inside of each one of you is the same ability that God's given me, and it's this called a voice. And it says this, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. I picked up, and this is not about me. I'm not saying, look at me. I'm going, this you can do. You can do. I'm encouraged, and I want to encourage you with this story. We picked up this child, and there was the prayer of the church that was present, and I could tangibly feel them going, oh, Lord, please do something. I could tangibly feel it. As I picked this Lily May up in my arms, a lifeless individual with tubes coming out of her nose, I simply said, Lord, this is resurrection week. Father God, would you please bring life? Well, she's now 4 years old. 4 years old. And her mum said, she's active. She has her complications. And what blessed me was this. They said, the only explanation is God healed her. Do you get that? When we sing these songs, when our worship team prepares a series of hymns and it says, it's the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. This is real. I have the privilege of steering this ship, of leading this ship and encouraging you to say the same God that's in me is in you. You see, Because the curtain was torn in two, he gave us access. Yes? You don't need to come to a priest. You are a priest because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and your faith in him. You have access. So I want to encourage you, if you ever get in that situation, you don't need me to pray for you. You just need to know him. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'll get on to my message in a minute. Oh, some things don't change, does it? I mean, my teachers did say could do better, but they also said this. He talks a lot. You see, nothing changes. Susan thought she'd found the perfect husband. I didn't like football, and I didn't say much. And then God got hold of me. And then she went, oh dear. Just don't like football. But God is a gracious God. This past year, we've been able to build an altar. And have you been able to build that altar? So that when you look at it, you can say, look what the Lord has done. It's a message that I brought, and I titled it Scars and Scabs, and it doesn't sound very nice, but a scar is a wound that's been healed. How many of you have been wounded and you've enabled God to heal that wound? It's still there though, isn't it? You still know about it, don't you? Something someone said, something someone's did, done. It was said some years ago when Phil was here before we went to America, he spoke my language. Well, I'm now going to speak with an accent, I think, an American accent, but the things that people have done to you, said about you, maybe society has dealt you a rotten hand and they've scarred you. Well, a scar is simply a wound that's healed. So you can look back at it and say, look what God has done. Or you can continually to pick at it and say, yeah, but she said, but he said, but they did. And that's a scab. Allow those scabs to become wounds. So that this year, as we go forward, you can say, I'm leaving it alone, Lord. I'm taking the plaster off. I'm going to let it heal. And then when you look back at that situation, you can say, look what God has done. When I look back at that time where God privileged me to pray for Lily May, it's an altar, I can say, look what God has done. So when something happens that's out of my control, I can say, Lord, there's an altar there that reminds me of your goodness. You see, I'm not the healer. He is. He is. He is your high priest. This past year, have you pulled down or built or restored walls? Remember, some walls protect you. They keep you in, but other walls, they keep God out. We build them so thick and so strong and so high that we're safe. We're behind that wall. Maybe it's a wall of unforgiveness and we feel safe there because once we start to forgive, then we open ourselves up, don't we? We become vulnerable. And we become vulnerable because as we forgive, we open ourselves up to be hurt again in exactly the same way. But that's what God calls us to do. To live as a living sacrifice. And that's why I said church is a dangerous place to be. Because you don't, I'm sure you don't come to church just to listen to me. Don't answer that. You come to worship God. You come to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, encourage me, help me, enable me, impact me, empower me. Lord, help me to let go of some of the past and lay hold of the present and the future. You see, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Regardless of where you've come from, you need to know where you're going. So if you've built walls that's kept you safe, it could have also kept God out. God, where are you? You see, the Bible talks about this. In the garden, right at the beginning in Genesis, God says, Adam, where are you? Now, did God not know where Adam was? The Bible talks about this. What will separate you from God is sin. Sin is to miss the mark. It's to miss the mark. So don't allow sin to build a wall so high that God can't come in. Simply pray these prayers on a regular basis. Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Father God, forgive me and help me to forgive others. So some of them walls need to come down. Some of them walls need to be built. God wants you to protect yourself. How do you protect yourself? With a wall of blessing, knowing that God's given you an armor, the full armor. Don't just put on the helmet of salvation, but have the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God. So when the accuser comes and he tries to infiltrate your family, you can take his word and say, no weapon forged against me will prosper. Every careless word that rises up against me will be stamped under my feet, and you put another brick in the wall. I know there's a song coming on, but I won't tempt you with that. Put another brick in the wall and you keep the enemy out, but you don't make it so high that you keep God out. You invite God to come in. So often in our daily lives, we're so busy that we're too busy to invite God to come in. Invite God to come in this year. Let some walls come down. Some walls be built. And maybe there's some restoration needed. Maybe some of the mortar is a little bit fragile and powder-like. And God's saying, I want you to take that old mortar out. I want you to mix some new cement with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to lay them bricks afresh. Why? Because he wants to bless you. I know they're mixed metaphors, and I know I speak in poetry and pictures, but do you know what? Jesus spoke in parables, didn't he? It's like a man who sowed seed in his field. So let's this year pull some walls down, build some walls up, and see some restoration. Each year we come back to Isaiah 61, our vision and our values. It says this: our values are to live like Christ, to love like Christ, and to serve like Christ. They're big statements. Even when we use the word love, at many weddings we say, love is patient, love is kind, love is slow to anger. It does not keep any record of wrongs. It doesn't keep an eye on the time. Is that time already? And I'm only on point one. But it doesn't, does it? You see, love, we sometimes see that love as this cuddly, furry, fluffy stuff, and it is at times. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I've never had many experiences where I'm slow motion going down the beach into the arms of my loved one. We'll try it when we go away, Susan. But love sometimes have to make difficult choices, have to make tough decisions. See, Susan so loved me that she stands by me. She protects me. She encourages me, and I want to do the same for her. To live like Christ, to love like Christ, and to serve like Christ. To love like Christ. God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. He didn't take, he gave. He gave his one and only. Fully God, yet fully human, came and felt all the emotions that we would feel if we were nailed to a cross and scourged. Our keynote is generosity, grace that saves, empowers, nurtures, excels. We're ready to serve. We're open and willing to change. We sacrifice for the greater good. We inspire others to be kind, to be trustworthy and reliable, to be yielded to God. Isaiah 61. Just let me read it. Are you okay for another 5 minutes if I just read this scripture? Is that a yes? Okay. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, and he's upon you. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because he has anointed me, and he's anointed you. The anointing of God, you would hear ministers say this in years gone by, it's the unction to function. It's the enablement. It's the enablement to see the rest of this scripture fulfilled. Without the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord upon you, you won't get that anointing, and you won't be able to proclaim the good news to the poor. What's the good news? I'm glad you asked. It's the gospel. It's this message of grace and salvation. And as we come into this next season of change and challenge, where we're encouraged to build together, to work together as a team, to sort out our differences, to pull down walls, to build walls, to restore walls, to see the scars truly as they are, scars, wounds that have been healed, to allow the scabs to be healed. As we do that, enabling and praying, Lord, come afresh upon me, anoint me to proclaim your good news to the poor, those that don't know you. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, those that are spiritually blind, to be set free. Bible says, once I was... This happened to me. Did it you? Well, tell me what it is, Pastor. Before I became a Christian, I could not understand God's word. Before I became a Christian, I had no concept of who God was, apart from this person that was far off. I made a simple declaration of faith, and suddenly my blind eyes were opened. I suddenly saw Scripture, and it illuminated before me. Nobody taught me. I didn't understand about the Holy Spirit. But this is true. If you'll allow God to anoint you, to allow His Spirit to come and envelop you, He will send you out to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim freedom for the captives, the release from darkness for the prisoner. There are many, many people in our world, in our lives, in our homes that are blinded to the gospel. You have the opportunity this year to see the prison doors come and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. God wants to bless His people. The day of vengeance of our God, He's coming back for a victorious church. You cannot understand the good news if you don't understand the bad news. You will not know there's a good God unless you understand this Satan, the devil that's trying to rob you and steal from you. He masks around as an angel of light. To comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. When we look at a garment, it's something that we have to put on. If this jacket of mine represented praise, it's no good if it's just left there, is it? God says, put on that garment. Put it on. We have the opportunity. Everything you need for your life, for this season, put that praise on. A garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They, God's people, will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. That picture conjures up strength and stability. And the Bible talks about trees being planted by good, healthy streams, where the roots will go down and it'll suck up the goodness of the fresh water. God wants you to be planted for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. There are things that people will say, that will never happen. But God's calling you to restore. He's calling you to be the answer to the question in your family. But they will never change. Yes, they will. Why? Because God's anointing you. He's anointed you to preach the good news, to bring liberty to the captives. It's not a platform ministry. It's a church worldwide ministry. Strangers will shepherd your flocks and foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. Yes, this is God. God is talking to His people, His covenant people. But you are His covenant people too, aren't you? He's had a new covenant through the shedding of His blood. Not by the law, but by grace. So this applies to you too. Instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. So you will inherit a double portion in the land. Everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. Father, we thank You for Your blessing. We thank You that all Your promises are yes, but the amen is spoken by us. See, all the promises of God are yes, but the amen is spoken by you and me. Grab hold of God's promises this season and say yes, amen to them. Lord, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Seek His face and you will find Him. Knock and He will open the door. Ask the question and He will answer it. Church, may I say, as your minister, as your shepherd, let's use the weapons that God's given us. Let's put on the full armor of God this year. And let's rejoice wearing the garment of praise, knowing that the everlasting joy belongs to you. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, we thank you that you give us an opportunity to give into your kingdom. So we take this opportunity, Lord, to sow. We thank you, Father God, that you bless us so that we may be a blessing. Father, would you enable your word to permeate in our heart? Lord, would you stir us up afresh to know that you've given us a talent. And as we work with that talent, you will bring the increase. Father God, we all want to hear your voice say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Let's close with a hymn.